This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, September is Guide Dog Month, and it is so wonderful that I am welcoming to Joy on Paper someone who knows a lot about guide dogs, Barbara Hinsky. Her book, Guiding Emily, was just released the other day as a Hallmark movie. I am so thrilled to welcome you back to Joy on Paper, Barbara.
Thank you, Patsy. It's wonderful to be back with you.
Well, I am so thrilled. My listeners are so thrilled. And, of course, your biggest fan, Rita Moreau. She was ecstatic. You know, I think it was the ninth book in your best-selling Rosemont series that was called When Dream There Be. Well, yes. You must be a woman of dreams and wishes because your dreams have come true.
They have. Isn't that something? I hope that is encouraging to anybody who's listening out there, that for all your dreams, and there will be plenty of people who will try and discourage you, dissuade you, burst your bubble. But no, just push that aside, because everyday dreams do come true.
Well, that's exactly why I was so thrilled that you could make it today, because, you know, the movie on Hallmark Channel was released on the 8th. It is so amazing. Now, when I read the book, and
when
Rita read the book, we both said, this has to be a movie. We were right.
Thank you. And I have to say, I am just so proud of the job that Hallmark has done. And I don't have all the information yet, but, you know, they've audio described it, and I think they're up for an award for their audio description. The visually impaired people that have contacted me after watching the movie have said that the audio description is fabulous, and I think they're going to get an award for it. So, wow.
Well, they should. And Sarah Drew should get an award.
Oh.
She is so amazing. She is playing Emily Maine, who becomes blind. And the way she acts in this film it blew me away. I thought she was terrific.
Yes. Yeah, there's been a little chatter about an Emmy nomination, which would be such a huge deal and so well-deserved. I was on set for 2 of the 3 weeks of filming and got to observe her working her craft. She is a master. This doesn't happen by accident. She put in a ton of hard work working with blind people to get this right. And if I can just say, during the scene, this isn't a spoiler, where the doctor takes off her bandages after her surgery and she realizes, okay, I am blind. The surgery did not fix the problem. When they were filming that, every single solitary person on set cried. And there were like 75 people on set, and they're not all watching the filming, but it was so emotional. One of the executive producers took his headset off and said, I can watch it. I cannot listen to it between takes, because it was getting more and more emotional. She and her mother, between the final take, were hugging each other, and I could see Sarah's chin quivering. So this is real. This is real, and I just cannot say enough about Sarah Drew.
I have tears in my eyes. I'm crying now just remembering it. It was such a wonderful scene. You know, I knew,
powerful,
of course, what was going to happen. You know, read the book. But when the way she did it, it was just, it gave you tingles. It was such a beautifully done scene. You know, I've been in Hollywood, I've seen, you know, behind the camera shots, you know, and I've watched actors work, and it's always really exciting because one minute they can be one way, and then the camera's on, and they transform themselves. And she transformed herself into Emily, the Emily that we got from your book, because your book was so touching. I remember when, again, when we read it, and I know that both Rita and I talked about it, and we said, this is so moving. We were so thrilled with, because, of course, we love the Rosemont series already, and we were so happy that you had this. And then to discover, I want you to explain the background of how you came out with this idea and about Emily Maine and about the story, and mostly, I mean, we have Garth, and I must say, the voice of Garth, I mean, he is so good.
Isn't Eric McCormick fabulous?
He is, I mean.
More, please.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is the voice of Garth. When he started, I was like, it was amazing.
Yeah, he was, this whole thing was a dream cast, and I'll tell you how the idea came up, but I also want to shout out to Maddie Pinocchio, who plays in the movie, it's Drew, in the book, it's Druv, the co-worker, and he's some of everybody's favorite character. He nailed it. He was perfect. So shout out to him. The whole cast was wonderful. But, so the idea came, I was at a black tie fundraiser for a local library, and I had donated naming rights to a character in my next book at that library for a live auction, and those naming rights were bought by a woman named Emily May. So there's the right. I was sitting at a table next to the development director for the Foundation for Blind Children here in Phoenix, Arizona, where I live. I live a mile from the foundation. I've never toured it. So he said, you and Brian have to come and tour it next week, and we did. I tell you, that was a life-changing moment for me. I was so moved by everything I saw for not just children, but adults. They service an adult population. And so I said, what do you need? What can I do to help? And he said, well, of course, we need money. We're a nonprofit, and I donate half of my royalties from Guiding Emily to the foundation. And we need to raise awareness among the sighted community of the capability of the visually impaired. We need our stories told. So I said, well, a novel can do that. So right there on the spot, I got the idea for Guiding Emily. I met during that tour the prototype for Garth, which was a guide dog named Noki, like the little Italian dumpling. And the foundation was so generous to me in letting me, they gave me white cane training. They let me sit in on counseling sessions with newly blind adults. They all signed waivers, and I'm still friends with some of those people, still in contact, to hear their powerful stories of despair, depression, isolation, fear at the onset of adult acquired blindness. But then as they get training and white cane training and all the rest, as they move back into mastery and independent living. So I was bound and determined to bring that story honorably and accurately on the page. And I used the Garth character, the guide dog who is puppy and then becomes a guide dog, is a first-person narrative character to lighten the story, because otherwise it would be pretty darn heavy. So Garth kind of helps the book not be so hard. And it helps the movie in that respect, too. He's just so cute. And there were 8 dogs that portrayed Garth in the movie.
Well, they're all delightful. And as you said, we really need Garth in there, because it is a difficult subject. And we know, and we see people who are blind. And so often people don't know how to react around them. And I think this, the original book, the book itself, really was an important, something important came out of that, because I think a lot of readers looked at themselves and said, well, what do I do when I see a blind person? Do I sort of step back? Do I sort of like, I don't want to get close to them. I don't want to interact with them. And I think it's changed a lot of people, because I have talked to some of my listeners sent me emails and said, well, I was so happy to hear about this book because, you know, my mother went blind and she's been having problems, and she always feels like people don't want to talk to her anymore because she's blind. Mm-hmm. She didn't go deaf. her mother loves to talk, but people hesitate.
Yeah, the isolation is real. I get emails at least once a week from people adults who have either recently lost their sight, telling me the book has given them hope, or from people who are losing their sight to degenerative diseases, telling me the book has given them courage. So that is just so gratifying to me. And when I decided to sell the screen rights, I wanted to make sure that those messages would be honored. I didn't want this to be, oh, poor little blind girl kind of book, kind of movie. And the executive producers, Beth Grossbart and Lisa Denberg, made me that promise, that the mission of the movie and the message would remain in the movie, and they delivered on that promise.
They did. They delivered it perfectly. I mean, it is absolutely perfect. Now, of course, you had a connection with Hallmark because one of your wishes had already come true. One of your dreams and your novella had become a Hallmark movie, the Christmas Club, which people can see every December and July, because July is also Christmas in July. And that is a beautiful, beautiful story. And that will be going playing for hundreds of years from now, I think.
I think so.
So you had a connection. You knew Hallmark, and I'm sure they were thrilled when you came to them with this project.
I think so. I mean, I think it was brave for them because it's not right within their wheelhouse of a traditional sort of romance. You know, here the love story is primarily between Emily and her guide dog. And so the movie is stepping out of their comfort zone. And that's a brave thing to do for any business that is being very successful with a certain way. But they did that, and I'm pulling out of my stack. I keep everything, of course, all the accolades. And there was an online publication review that the title is "Guiding Emily Shows the Potential of the Hallmark Movie." Wow, that they should be so proud of that. I am so proud of them.
Well, that's why when I said I think she has an Emmy-winning performance, not every Hallmark performance is, you know, considered, although they're great performances.
Right.
But this one is a breakout. I think it is a breakout
Thank
for
you.
Them. And I hope that she gets nominated, because I think she's, well,
I do too.
She's so beautiful and such a great, Sarah Drew is just, she's everything you would have wanted in Emily. She's everything. She's got the smile and the way she moves, everything about her. And then, oh boy, when she's hugging Garth, it is a love story.
It is a love story, and it's such a feel-good story. And Hallmark was very honorable to the visually impaired community as well, because every single character in that movie who is blind, and there are a lot of them, is actual, with the exception of Sarah, Emily, is an actual blind actor in real life. They brought in people from all over Canada to do that at some expense. So, you know, kudos to Hallmark.
Wonderful opportunity.
Putting in the work to get it right,
I mean, for blind people, they don't get a lot of opportunities to be in a film, so it must be thrilling for them.
Right.
Of course, it was shot in Victoria, Canada, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So beautiful. And as reviewers have commented on all over social media, Emily's mother's house is an absolute dream. That is eye candy to the max. We all want to move in with Martha, I'll tell you that. Didn't you love that house?
Oh, I did. I loved it. The location is perfect. The casting is perfect. Now, I hope, and I know all of us, my listeners and Rita Moreau, we're all praying and hoping and wishing, because wish is a big part of your life, that there will be another Emily movie, because we have not seen enough of Emily and Garth.
Well, and I think I'm not going to give away the ending, but they certainly ended it in a way that would suggest there might be more, and it might become an actual series.
That's what I was hoping. I was hoping. I can see a lot of potential for that. I love the ending. Actually, is like crying out, "This is a series. We need more. We need more of Sarah Drew. We need more of Garth and all of the other characters around." The supporting cast.
Wonderful.
I mean, they are really perfect. It's like they were always together.
Yes. Yeah, and the feeling on set was absolutely that. It was such an energetic feeling of camaraderie among the cast and among the crew. This was, when I arrived on set, people knew this was important. This was a project that would change lives. And the visually impaired community and the guide dog communities are ecstatic. And anybody, if I can put in this plug, people can request that Hallmark make this into a series. And I think I know they look at that. So the place to write is viewers, plural, viewers at hallmarkmedia.com. So if you write in and say, hey, love the movie, let's make it a series, that will be enormously helpful to that.
Well, my listeners are going to do that. We're all going to be ready. I'm going to, that's the first thing I do. When I get home today, that's what I'm going to do, because I want a series. I haven't had enough of them. I love them. And the fact that, you know, of course, you have 4 books in the series now, so we have a lot of stories, a lot of wonderful stories. And I love the idea that also they will use real, you know, blind people who will be employed. Yes. You know, it's so important.
It was so moving. I got to address the blind extras a lot of sitting, or as you well know, there's a lot of sitting around and not much filming that goes on in that 14-hour day. So they were congregated in an auditorium, and they asked me if I would come and address the group, and I did, and I was moved to hear their stories. This is important stuff.
It is. It is important. And you've done a terrific job, as you said. You donate. You donate to which one do you donate to? The
Foundation for Blind Children.
Foundation for Blind Children. There's also, if you go to Guide Dogs of America website, you can find out more about guide dogs in general. You can find out how you can get involved. You can, and I think one of the nice things is for people to do tours like this that inspire them to give more.
Well, and that's another thing. So I think the movie really highlights that we need more puppy raisers out there, because it's a 2-year wait to get a guide dog. 2 years. 3 members of the crew signed up to be puppy raisers while we were filming, and I'm hoping more people as a result of the movie will do that. And if I can just direct people, if you go to my author Barbara Hinsky Facebook page, I have a post there with a link to all the information for all of the guide dog schools. I believe it's all of them in the United States. So you can look at the ones in your area to see if you want to investigate being a puppy raiser. And you can certainly change lives that way.
I didn't realize it's a 2-year waiting list?
2 years, because they just don't have it. So can you imagine that?
Oh, wow.
That's a long time.
Well, I think, I am sure, and I'm positive that Guiding Emily, the Hallmark movie, will inspire people to get involved and will inspire people to be more thoughtful about the blind. And as I said, remember, blind people aren't, you know, they're not deaf, and they love to talk.
Yes.
And you don't have to be afraid of asking them questions, because they will tell you, you know, as much as they can handle. But they are appreciative of having the opportunity to interact with people.
Absolutely. There is no question about that. People, just like everybody else, nobody wants to be ignored and isolated.
Well, Barbara, you have done a terrific job. You have dreams have come true in so many ways. And your goodness and the fact that you just jumped in with doing a book. I mean, it's not everybody who would just say, okay, I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to write a book that's faithful to the cause, and I'm going to help people. And then on top of it, I'm going to give a portion of all my money to the organization. So I think, Barbara Hinsky, you are terrific. You are
you
are just a wonderful, warm human being. And that comes through in your books. And even, you know, a long time ago when I started reading, one of the first series, The Paws?
Paws and Pastries.
And Pastries. You know, I love Paws and Pastries because I used to have a little bakery shop myself. So I read I read it not for the paws part. I read it for the pastry part.
Sure.
But
I love knowing that.
I mean, I even write... Back then, I knew that you were a great writer, and Rosemont, of course, proved it. I think there was, how many books in that series? I don't know.
nine of them.
So,
and there will be more.
And there will be more.
It.
And what about more?
You have been so supportive.
Well, you know, sometimes on drawing paper, I just fall in love with an author. And I think it is... The personality of the author shines through, the goodness of the author. And I feel it, and then I become enthusiastic, and I want to do everything to help promote it. And as I said, we knew right away that this was going to be a movie, and I'm going to do everything to help make it a series, because we want to see more of Emily and Garth. I love Garth. Garth needs more dialogue.
He does.
Yeah,
punch and I think he probably will next time.
Yeah,
people love him.
Yeah, you can punch up his dialogue. That, you know, in Hollywood, when I was working on Phil, they'd all say, "Well, punch up that guy's dialogue," and I'd say, "Okay." So I'm sure you can come up with some clever ideas for Garth too, because he's in your heart and he's in your soul.
Oh, he is absolutely in my heart and soul.
Well, so I know. Right. I have to let you go because I promised I'd let you out at 11:29. It's exactly 11:29.
Thank you.
Have
You're
a wonderful,
amazing.
Wonderful day. And my listeners
you
are
too.
Going to
Thank
be
so
emailing Hallmark. Thank you again. Barbara Hinsky, you
Thank
are an
you
amazing
so
woman.
Thank you so much. You and Rita have been endlessly supportive, and I'm so grateful.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, she's wonderful. She jumped in and did the program, although she had to run exactly at 11:30 to an appointment. So I was so thrilled that she could join us today. Barbara Hinsky, her website is barbarahinsky.com. You can go there. And also Guide Dogs of America, go there. And you might want to raise a puppy. Wow, for 2 years. That would be wonderful. Okay, I have a book buzz, and we're going to do that. Yep, from Devon Miller, and this is a really great book. And then we'll have a few commercials, and I will be back with a Nat Geo book.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Top Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. From the creators of the popular books Room on the Broom and The Gruffalo comes another tale of spooky, silly fun called The Baddies, written by Julia Donaldson and illustrated by Axel Scheffler. Watch out, because The Baddies, a group consisting of a ghost, witch, and troll, are coming. And they're the meanest and baddest in all the land. The trio tries to prove their badness when a girl moves into a cottage nearby. Seeing this, the trio gets excited and try and scare her, but do the baddies win in the end? When it came to writing the premise of the book, Julia Donaldson came up with the concept quickly, but spent months honing the language. The Baddies marks the 25th collaboration between the author and illustrator of Julia Donaldson and Axel Scheffler. It's a wonderful book that's sure to be a delightful treat for anyone that reads this book. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest, and I am always so thrilled when I have a Nat Geo book. Oh my goodness, it's a thrilling day. And of all the books, I mean, this is like the perfect book for me. Great Outdoors USA, 1,000 Adventures Across All 50 States. Oh boy, oh boy. I am so excited to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Allison Johnson. Hi, Allison.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. Oh, I love this book. I love this book. Oh, my goodness. I want to give it to everybody. I want everybody to just get outside.
Isn't it great? I mean, we have 1,000 adventures across all 50 states in here, 20 outdoor adventures in every state. You won't be bored for 20 years of your life if you do want a weekend.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, Allison, just before we start, what is your current position? Are you're the boss over there at Nat Geo yet? Are you?
I am a senior editor with National Geographic Books, and I work on our travel and cookbook titles over at Nat Geo.
Oh, you have the cookbooks, too. You have to send me some of the cookbook ones. You know, I love those, too.
I absolutely will.
I'm always ready for that. But for me, of course, one of the things when people get this, it's, you know, in the beginning we have, it's listed by state. So people will probably go to the state where they're born. Everybody likes to go to their home state. So I immediately go to Michigan. But you can go, there's all the states there. And for me, I was raised in the outdoors. My entire childhood was outdoors. I was only in the house if they forced me or was too cold and I'd get frostbite. So for me, it is just such a thrill. Of course, you have lots of wonderful things in Michigan, and Michigan is just perfect because I was one of those wild children that I ran through the forest. I lived in the forest. I was always running in the forest. I knew every tree. I could identify every tree. I loved, my father was in the lumber business, so trees were very important to me. And 50% of Michigan is forest. Most of it, I think, in northern Michigan, is like 80%. Because we have very few people, luckily. But I knew every tree. I could tell, you know, there are four types of hickory trees. I could tell which was which. I had so much fun as a child, and I feel sorry for kids today who don't have this opportunity, but I'm hoping this book will inspire parents and grandparents and all the family. Get outside!
I agree, and you know, we put a map in the beginning of every state so that people could see just how close they are to so many of these adventures. Our hope here was really to inspire families and everyone to get outside and just be like, it could be a 2-hour drive, it might be 4 hours. It doesn't take a whole vacation or week away to do something fun really close to home. And we also have a range of adventures. We have walking, we have hiking, but if you're a daredevil, you could also go bungee jumping or even skydiving. So we really tried to provide something for everyone within these pages and something close to home for everyone too.
Well, I think you've succeeded because everyone is just perfect. For me, some were very surprising. I've been to a lot of the states, but there are some that I haven't had the opportunity to go to. And one of them was in Arizona, the Vermilion Caves. It's always so wonderful when you're surprised by something.
Absolutely. The Vermilion Caves are beautiful. It's otherworldly. And I think if you can get there, absolutely breathtaking to take in. I even had surprises while I was editing this book. You know, in South Dakota, for instance, you think of South Dakota, you think Mount Rushmore, maybe Badlands National Park. They have this beautiful canyon called Spearfish Canyon that has so many waterfalls and lush greenery. And it's a landscape I didn't know existed in South Dakota, and I immediately put it on my own bucket list. So there are tons of surprises in here that I think will get people to explore more around the U.S. too.
Oh, exactly. It just so much fun to discover new things. And I think if people would get out there, especially nowadays, just turn off your electronics, for goodness sakes, and listen. There is nothing as wonderful as a birch tree. There's that sound mm-hmm. of a birch tree is special of all trees. I've traveled all over the world, and I've tried to find a sound quite like that. I've been to exotic countries. But the Michigan birch tree rustling in the wind, it's magic.
It is, and you know, I think we all need a chance to connect to nature these days. We're all behind our screens all day long, whether it's at work, whether it's at home watching TV. Get out there and explore, and especially if you have a family, it's a good way to connect with your kids again and share an experience that you'll talk about together for a lifetime. And I think there's no better way to do that than being outside.
Well, how do you do this? This is a monumental task because there are so many photographs here. And
yeah.
How do they do it with you? Did you take like a sort of a state at a time and just have all these photographs and go through them?
Well, we have, a really great team here at National Geographic. So the book was compiled by a team of 10 National Geographic travel writers who have all either lived in the state or visited it extensively, so they really knew these places like the back of their hands. And then we have a great team of photo editors and photographers who are always out on the road exploring, who were able to give us these images of these places and really bring every adventure to life. I mean, if you're not able to go to someplace right now, you can easily get there in your armchair and just imagine it by the pictures throughout this book. And that's all credit to the National Geographic photographers who are always out there exploring and providing this beautiful imagery throughout the book.
And it is so important what you said about they know the area that they're writing about and talking about, that they really have found hidden gems among even like Manhattan. They found mm-hmm. hidden gems where there's a place where you can just get outside and you can listen to the birds.
Yep, exactly. We were really hopeful with this one. We included the national parks and a lot of state parks in here because those are must-do experiences, must-do places to visit, but we really wanted to put some surprises in there, especially ones that are easy to get to. So, you know, like you mentioned, in Manhattan, there's a salt marsh just 40 minutes outside of the city in Brooklyn that you could kayak, you could go biking, you could just walk the boardwalk, but you're in nature steps away from the big city. And I think that's a really valuable part of this book is that, one, you don't have to go far, and two, you can find nature retreats even in concrete jungles. And I think that is the beauty of what these writers have put together in this book.
Well, one of course, for me, Michigan, you have the 30-mile bike ride along Copper Harbor. Now, I am from Copper Country, and this was my backyard, so I know that route very well. When I was a kid, I knew every tree in there, and I would be running around. And my favorite were hickory trees because there's so many uses for hickory. And of course, it's a very hard wood, so it makes wonderful furniture, wonderful handles for tools. So my grandfather would always want a hickory handle on his tools, and so he would carve them himself, and they were beautiful, beautiful works of art, actually. And most people don't know that there are four kinds of hickory trees in Michigan, and my favorite was one called the shagbark. And a shagbark hickory, first of all, it's the bark looks like it's falling down, and is like it's sort of spooky looking, really scary. And if you have a great imagination, it looks like they could turn into hands and start grabbing you. But actually, bats love to hide underneath this hanging bark. But one of the uses was for hickory smoked meats. And everybody wanted to find a hickory, a shagbark hickory. They were rarer than the other ones. There's a other one which also was very popular, but of all of them, that one was one that people wanted for their barbecues, meats. And so I would be the one they'd come to, and they'd say, Patsy, do you know where there's a shagbark? And you know, of course, you didn't cut down very many of them because they do grow to be 100 feet tall. But people did, you know, have we conserve trees. My brother sells 4 trees a year off of our 80 acres. That's all.
Wow.
So, but this is one of the things that people, if they get out there, that is one of the best bike rides in the world. That is, it's amazing.
Absolutely stunning. And I think, you know, with all the trees, like you mentioned, especially in the fall with those beautiful autumn colors, we're coming up on it right now. Absolutely stunning to do the Copper Harbor trails in the fall time.
Oh, it is. It's amazing. And the shagbark is particularly, they turn a bright yellow that it takes your breath away. Now, what's your state? What state do you come from?
So I live in Northern Virginia right now, and I grew up in Maryland, so I'm very familiar with a lot of the destinations we included right outside the D.C. area. And one of my favorites that I have to recommend this in this book, especially, like I said, this is great for families, is Luray Caverns, which is just outside Shenandoah. It's this beautiful underworld cavern that you can walk in and has really accessible trails, so it's great for both seniors and kids alike. They even do lantern tours, and it's just a really fun chance to get outside and explore. You know, maybe it's not technically outside because you're in a cave, but it's another worldly destination that it's just fun to take the whole family to and really explore and walk around and see all the stalagmites. There's even some water in the cave that's really cool to look at. So a really fun trip if you're in the D.C. area that's just about 2 to 3 hours outside of Washington, D.C.
Now, they don't ever send you out and say, well, test this site for us if it's worth it.
Every once in a while, but most of the time that falls to our expert writers who are out in the field doing this literally day in and day out. So they're the lucky ones, and then I get to read and edit their experiences.
Well, I thought maybe you'd grab onto the zip lining across in Lake Tahoe.
You know, I'd be happy to. I'm an adventure traveler, and I love zip lining, and we have that in Lake Tahoe. We have it in a few other states in this book. I even, you know, one of the adventures nearby me is hang gliding in Virginia, and I'm telling you, I put it right down on my bucket list right away because I love thrills like that, and I'm looking forward to doing it.
That's the one I wanted to do. I want to do that one. if NatGeo wants to know if it's worth the trip, they can send me on that trip, and I will report.
Happily.
I promote that one. But there's something for everyone. The wonderful thing is there's the adventure ones. There's the ones that are like a little bit more educational, the bird watching, this one. And then there's, of course, things like the Rose Garden in Connecticut. That alone is like you can go there and you're like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Because I had 36 variety of roses in my cottage when I moved to England. I wanted just roses in my garden. And I had 36 varieties. So
oh, wow.
Something like that, the Rose Garden, that's the Elizabeth Park Rose Garden in Connecticut. Anybody, if you're near Connecticut, you have to go there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we try to incorporate a lot of beautiful just walking experiences like that. We, you know, in Massachusetts, we have the Heritage Museum and Gardens, the 100 acres of botanical gardens you can stroll through. The one in Connecticut, like you mentioned, we have a ton of these just strolling experiences. We call it forest bathing, where you're just taking a guided hike through the woods and just appreciating, like you mentioned, you used to do, just the sounds of nature and letting it calm you. And so not everything is adrenaline rushing, you know, need to be extreme. We have a lot that really anyone can do, no matter their activity level or interest.
And I think for people nowadays, I hope that a lot of people will be doing camping. Camping is a lot cheaper than hotels nowadays, I can tell you.
It is. And, you know, we have places you can go put a tent up and camp for the weekend. Or if you need a little more luxe experience, it's not a hotel, but there are even some glamping destinations throughout the book where you might stay in a yurt or even some tree houses outside that have a little more luxe to them than a tent campground.
I love the tree houses. I love those. As you said, you have a nice variety and just everybody can find something that they like and get outdoors. It's like a magical word for me, outdoors. Even, you know, I'm in the house. I'm on the computer so much of the day. But for me, it's like, I have to get outdoors. And we have here in my area a beautiful, beautiful botanical garden. And I'm always so reborn, rejuvenated. When I go to that garden, they have these, the Adirondack chairs, those comfortable ones, wooden ones, and you can take your book and you can sit there, and it really, if you do that like once a week, if you go someplace, it really changes your whole sort of mindset for the rest of the week.
Absolutely. It refreshes your mind, body, and soul, for sure, to get outside, get that fresh air, and just enjoy nature for a little bit.
Well, when you're going through the pictures, it must be so difficult to choose.
It is. And it also really showcases the diversity of the U.S. And in these photographs, you can see, even state by state, the diversity of landscapes and trees and natures, birds, all the wildlife. It's really fun I feel very privileged to be able to have this job and look at these photos and make the hard decision of choosing which ones will inspire people to get out there and go.
Well, I think there will be some that, as I said, that surprise you, like the Vermilion one. I didn't know about this, and I am really amazed that nobody's ever, I don't know if anybody's ever used it as a backdrop for a film, because it's so breathtaking.
It is. It almost looks like Mars with that red color, and honestly, it really would be a great filming location, and it's really beautiful. Similarly, there are similar vistas in Antelope Canyon in Utah. There's a lot of places like that I think get overlooked because of the nearby national parks in these areas, but I suggest go to the national park and then take a road trip to these places, go to the Grand Canyon, then make your way to the Vermilion Cliffs, and you're really going to have an outdoor adventure of a lifetime.
Exactly, because we were in the Grand Canyon, and I didn't know about this. You know, and those were the days before, you know, internet and before all of these Nat Geo wonderful books. You know, if you had the magazines, you might have seen pictures of it. But now with this opportunity for people, really, Nat Geo books are so wonderful. They are actually an investment for life, because I'm telling everyone all the time that when you get a Nat Geo book, they are something that becomes a part of the family. You keep them forever. I've never seen a Nat Geo book in a garage sale. People don't give up a Nat Geo book. I mean, you really don't.
Yeah, that's so kind.
I mean, it really is so amazing that people will give away other books, but somehow, when they have their hands on a Nat Geo book, and it becomes, in a way, a friend of yours, because I have Nat Geo books that I pick up every day. For example, I just had In the Steps of Jesus. I picked that up yesterday because I have it right there on my table. And just like you have a Nat Geo almanac, you should always have that next to your TV chair. So instead of watching the commercials and getting your mind all confused, just pick up a Nat Geo almanac and thumb through it and discover something new. And it'll be it will be less irritating than watching commercials. And in this case, now this book is a hefty book. I think 736 pages or something like that.
Yeah, it's a big one.
It's a big one. So it's not one for picking up real fast during a commercial, but turn off the TV and get lost in the book and get lost in all of the beauty of America. It really is. We are so blessed. We have so much beauty. And I hate to think of all the people. I think a lot of these people we see who are anxious and getting themselves in trouble and doing stupid things, if they would be out in nature, their whole bodies would just calm down and they would be happier people.
I hope it inspires some people to go that direction. And I really hope honestly, that Great Outdoors USA inspires the explorer in all of us to really get out from the sofa and go outside and explore and calm ourselves and enjoy what the country has to offer.
With 1,000 adventures across all 50 states, people, you can't go wrong with this book. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. It's a kind of book that if you give for a wedding, for example, and it's a sort of a to-do book that people can have set their goals and set their bucket lists. Although I don't like bucket lists, I like to use joy lists, places that will bring you joy. And it's a great gift. It's a great book. And Allison Johnson, I'm always thrilled to talk to you. I know that you have a job. It is a job, and I'm happy that you get paid to have such a wonderful, wonderful time looking through beautiful photographs all day and coming out with great ideas. And now I hope with the cookbook ones, you actually get to taste some of the recipes.
I do. I'm lucky enough that I get to taste some, and when we do a recipe photo shoot, we get to taste them on set. So I can tell you the recipes are delicious firsthand.
Okay, well, I want some of those books too. What are you holding back on me?
We'll send them your way, I promise.
Okay, well, it's great talking to you. You've done a marvelous job. Everybody, all of your photographers, I love you guys and gals. You are just terrific, and I envy you that you have jobs that pay you money to do what you love to do anyway.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for having me. It's always such a pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye now. Bye, Allison. Okay, everybody, get this book, Great Outdoors USA, 1,000 Adventures Across All 50 States. Bye-bye. Okay, well, I love this. I love this book. It's gorgeous. You know, sometimes you just get a book that you... I was actually late. I was actually late for something because I was supposed to make a telephone call, and I got this book, and I was reading it and reading it and going through, as of course I went through Michigan first, always. And suddenly I realized, my goodness, I didn't make the call. I was supposed to do it at like 10 o'clock, and I didn't do it. Oh, well, I said, what the heck? I was having a great adventure outside in my mind. So it's a wonderful book. All right. Well, I have a few things. Special thanks to Barbara Hinsky and to Rita Moreau, because Rita Moreau is such a great supporter of Barbara Hinsky, and I was so thrilled. And I will be having some more book buzzes from Rita Moreau for some of the cozy mysteries that are coming up soon. And I'm really excited about that. Tasha Alexander has a new book coming out, and we will have her here in October. But on Thursday, I have a very, very special program. It is with Doug Brunt. Doug Brunt was my fourth guest on Joy on Paper all those years ago. It's now I'm in my ninth year, and that was in 2015. And he was the fourth guest on Joy on Paper. And I love his writing. At that time, we were talking about Ghosts of Manhattan, which I think is still one of the best books about the 2008 stock market crash. It was it's brilliantly done. But his new book is about Rudolf Diesel, and we will be talking for 1 hour about Rudolf Diesel. You know the name, you've heard the word Diesel all your life, but you don't know the story behind the man. And Doug Brunt has written an amazing, it's actually, it's like a thriller. It's quite an amazing story about Rudolf Diesel, and he will be here on Thursday. So I'm very excited about that. Also, send in your questions. Bill Larson is going to be here later this month, and he will be answering your questions. Of course, everybody has questions about AI, and he's got some more information on how to protect yourself. Meanwhile, we do want, and I just sent him somebody who was scammed. You have to be very careful when you get emails from people who say, for example, that they want to do something for you, particularly for authors. That's not, I don't know. I'm just so sad at how many people are trying to scam authors. So be careful. Don't sign anything without talking to a lawyer. But Bill Larson will be here at the end of the, I think 2 weeks, and we will talk about that. Meanwhile, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Barbara Hinsky and her amazing story about Emily. You know, sometimes a story just comes along at the right time. And Guiding Emily, when that book came out, I knew that it would one day be a movie. And I was right. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody. And I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. You are so wonderful. And he saluted me, and I saluted him, because I should have been a general. I'd have been a great general. I love pushing people around. Okay, bye-bye now.